Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Friday, September 13, 2019. Sudan and South Sudan agree to reopen their borders.
The key discussion was the issue of opening the borders. Of course, the issue of BA is a fundamental issue because we want a final status on the resolution of the conflict of BA. The current government in Khartoum, the Supreme Council, and the cabinet are very open.
The deputy chairman of the SPLM-IO says there is no political space in South Sudan.
Our national monitor was threatened by Governor Obiambio, and this is also a sign that there is mistrust between the parties, and I think it has to be investigated because that is not acceptable. Our national monitors must be allowed to do their work.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. South Sudanese and Sudanese leaders have agreed to reopen the two countries' borders in a bid to boost trade and movement of people. The agreement follows New Sudan's Prime Minister Abdalla Hamdok's two-day visit to Juba. A South Sudanese foreign affairs official says Juba and Khartoum will form a technical committee to address all issues hindering free movement of goods and services between the two countries. Wake Simon Wudu has more for VOA from Juba.
The agreement is significant because several border areas remain closed between South Sudan and Sudan. Hegelech in former Unity State, Kafia Kenji in Raja, Jau in Rueng State, El Karsana in Western Kordofan in Sudan and Sudan's El Nama border in Western Kordofan in Sudan, to name just a few. South Sudan Deputy Minister of Foreign Affairs Deng Dao Deng says, aside from talks between President Kiir and Prime Minister Hamdok on reopening the ASEAN border, the two countries' ministers of foreign affairs, trade, mining and interior of the two countries discussed improving economic and political ties.
The key discussion was the issue of opening the borders. Of course, the issue of BA is a fundamental issue because we want a final status on the resolution of the conflict of BA. The current government in Khartoum, the Supreme Council and the cabinet are very open in addressing the issues that were outstanding between South Sudan and the Republic of Sudan.
Dao says Hamdok also met with the leaders of various Sudanese rebel groups in Juba and reaffirmed his government's commitment to ending hostilities with the rebel groups. A Sudanese government delegation and the rebel groups signed a declaration of principles in Juba Wednesday on holding peace talks next month. Dao says Hamdok came to Juba partly to cement that process.
You know, to show the commitment of the Supreme Council and the cabinet itself. So there is no new position from him. It's only to reaffirm the Juba Declaration is supported by the Sudanese government, both the Supreme Council and the cabinet.
Hamdok left Juba this afternoon. He met with President Kiir for about 2 hours yesterday. Sudanese Foreign Minister Asma Mohamed Abdallah, who accompanied Hamdok to Juba, called Sudanese and South Sudanese citizens brothers and sisters.
We have been one country, and now we are two countries, but we are still one nation. And we hope to develop our relations in this. We would like also to take the opportunity of the positive atmosphere between the two countries to further our cooperation and make sure that all the issues between our two countries will be solved and we will move to wider areas of cooperation.
Abdallah said the post-comprehensive peace agreement issues that remained unresolved after South Sudan broke away from Sudan in 2011 will now be dealt with in the atmosphere of the new political cooperation between the two countries. South Sudan Foreign Affairs Minister Aout Deng Achuel says it is time both countries focus on ensuring peace and stability for their people.
I think time has come for us in the two countries to silence the guns. The war is no more option for our people. We need to have peace. and sustainable peace in the two countries.
When he arrived in Juba, Hamdok told the reporters he was looking for a strategic partnership with South Sudan, saying the sky is the limit for such a relationship.
We hope to have a prosperous relationship that will address issues of trade, border issues, oil, free movement of our people between the two countries, and all this agenda.
South Sudan Vice President James Wani-Iga sounded equally optimistic. The ties between Sudan and South Sudan will improve now that Hamdok is in charge.
I believe he's going to come up with very strong policies, effective policies, and especially our border relations, and especially the trade between the two countries, and especially the issue of oil. And we are really one people, two countries.
This was Hamdok's first visit to South Sudan since being sworn in as Sudan's Prime Minister August 21st. For VOA News, I'm Waki Simon Wudu in Juba.
A member of the National Trade Transitional Committee, which oversees the implementation of the revitalized peace deal, says opposition political parties are not being allowed to participate effectively in the peace process. A top UN official says the government should create an opportunity for all parties to the peace agreement so that they can work towards credible general elections in 2022. Dimo Silva Aurelio reports for VOA from Juba.
In its monthly report to the Joint Monitoring and Evaluation Commission yesterday, Henry Oduor, the SPLM-IO Deputy Chair and Co-Chair of the National Pre-Transitional Committee, or NPTC, raised concern over what he calls the limited political space in South Sudan.
This is a very contentious area, especially for the opposition. And some opposition members came, you know, lastly Monday to come and go and disseminate peace. But because of the atmosphere that is not yet conducive for political activities, they had to go back.
Oduor says the NPTC wants the government to create a space so that opposition groups can freely disseminate and popularize the peace agreement.
So this is an issue both government and we in the opposition recognize, and would like something to be done about it. Otherwise, without political space, without issues in regards to civil liberties not resolved, make this peace shaky.
Last week, some officials with the ceasefire and transitional security arrangements, monitoring and verification mechanism, or CITIZEN-VM, said some governors continue to threaten opposition parties. General Mugumi Kita represents the South Sudan Opposition Alliance in CITIZEN-VM.
Our national monitor was threatened by Governor Obiambio, and this is also a sign that there is mistrust between the parties, and I think it has to be investigated. Because that is not acceptable. Our national monitors must be allowed to do their work.
Kita did not elaborate on what threat he was referring to, and South Sudan in Focus could not independently verify his accusation. David Shearer, the special representative to the UN Secretary General in South Sudan, says while he welcomes this week's meeting between President Salva Kiir and opposition leader Riek Machar, the government should allow all the parties to participate in a number of processes aimed at restoring peace and stability across the country.
The purpose of the transitional government being formed, and it now looks like it will do, is to prepare for elections. And elections that enable the people and the citizens of South Sudan to have the opportunity to select or elect their own leaders. Preparations for that need to be underway. I think that's important, but also that political space that was mentioned before needs to be there and open so that political parties and political activities can take place in an environment and an atmosphere that enables that move forward towards elections in 3 years' time.
Shearer says ANMIS is relying on the parties to create a peaceful environment that can allow the millions of displaced South Sudanese to return to their homes and begin their lives again. But he warns difficult times lie ahead as the November 12th deadline for forming a unity government quickly approaches. For VOA News, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio in Juba.
From Juba, we move to Zimbabwe, where thousands of mourners filled the Harare Stadium today to pay their respects to former Zimbabwean President Robert Mugabe, who died last week at the age of 95. The leader's family says his funeral will be held in accordance with the government's wishes in Harare's Heroes Acre Cemetery, but that his burial will come later and will be private. VOA's Anita Powell files from Harare.
Thousands of Harare residents lined up in the blazing sun to pay final respects to the man who cast a long shadow over Zimbabwe. Robert Mugabe's body is laying in state for 2 days at this Harare Stadium ahead of his Saturday memorial service and Sunday burial. The first president of independent Zimbabwe died last week, 2 years after he was pushed out of power by his deputy, who had the support of the military. Mugabe's family said Friday they had, after negotiations with the government, agreed to have him buried in Harare's Heroes Acre Cemetery instead of in his rural village, as they had wanted. But his nephew, Leo, says the actual internment will be private. I'm happy personally, he says, because he's being given what belongs to him, a befitting send-off. His legacy is being recognized, and they are doing things that they've never done at the National Heroes Acre. Some mourners, like 51-year-old war veteran and farmer Victoria Muwana, say they came to show gratitude.
I benefited a house in Nyanga and also a land. When I was working before, I once worked as a policewoman. So I managed to benefit since I was in the housing committee and land. I worked very hard with him, so I benefited. I was the one who also benefited through his program.
Others came to seek closure, like unemployed mourner Maxwell board member Bonga, who is 47.
We are bereaved, we are mourning, we are crying, and we don't know. We are going, you left us without telling us what we should do, where we should go.
Mugabe's legacy is likely to be a mixed one. He is hailed as a liberation hero, but reviled as the man responsible for steering the nation's economy into ruin. But for 75-year-old retiree Love Mormurewa, who could hardly speak between sobs, the man he calls by his clan name, Gashungu, left a deep impression on his life. It has greatly pained me, he says in the Shona language, for me to be who I am today. It's all thanks to Gashungu. Anita Powell, VOA News, Harare.
Our reporter, Blessing Zulu of VOA's Zimbabwe service, is in Harare. He says President Emmerson Mnangagwa has announced the names of current and former heads of state who would be attending Mr. Mugabe's funeral.
On Thursday, the body of the late former president, Robert Mugabe, was taken to Rufaro Stadium. This is a significant stadium in the country because that is where he took his first oath of office in 1980. Unfortunately, yesterday there was a stampede as several people were injured when they were trying to view his partially opened casket.
Do we know finally where the former president is to be buried?
Unfortunately, no. That was supposed to have been resolved yesterday when President Emmerson Mnangagwa visited former President Robert Mugabe's 25-bedroom mansion in Borodeo, Harare. He requested for a meeting with the former First Lady Grace Mugabe and other family members to try and resolve that issue. Unfortunately, after about 45 minutes, they did not agree on anything because the president, Emmerson Mnangagwa, was pushing for Mr. Mugabe to be buried at the country's National Heroes Acre in Harare, where heroes are buried. But because there is this acrimony between Mr. Mnangagwa and the Mugabe family, the family said that the state programs will end on Saturday with the official funeral, and then on Sunday the family will take over. The nephew of former President Robert Mugabe, Leo Mugabe, addressed the media and said that Mr. Mugabe will be buried at a private place.
I know there's still much uncertainty surrounding the burial of the former president, when and where, but do you know, or has the government made any announcement in terms of who is coming to the funeral?
Of course, the official funeral will be on Saturday. This is when heads of states and government are expected to travel to Harare. President Emmerson Mnangagwa said there are 11 confirmed leaders who are coming. That is Equatorial Guinea's President Teodoro Obiang Nguema Basogo, Democratic Republic of Congo's Felix Tshisekedi, Ghana's Nana Akufo-Addo, Arthur Peter Mutharika of Malawi, João Lourenço of Angola, Sir Rawis Ibrahim Gali, President Cyril Ramaphosa of South Africa, Mozambican leader Filipe Nyusi, Zambia's Edgar Lungu, Namibia's Hein Gob, and Kenya's Uhuru Kenyatta. And of course, he also said that there are some former presidents who have also confirmed their attendance, who include Zambia's Kenneth Kaunda and Rupia Banda, Mozambique's Joaquim Chissano, South Africa's Thabo Mbeki and Jacob Zuma, Namibia's Sam Nyoma and Hifikepunye Pohamba, and Botswana's Festus Mogae, and China and Iran and also Cuba are going to send representatives.
Blessing, thank you very much again for the update.
Thank you so much, James.
That's reporter Blessing Zulu of VOA's Zimbabwe service speaking with James Batty from Harare. You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, the problem of online bullying is only getting bigger. Find out more when we come back.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what makes you proud of yourself?
Because I'm healthy and certainly alive. Very many people have not been able to make it to my age, because at this age of mine, I'm making 37 in October 21st. Therefore, I'm proud of that.
Managing life, trying to handle challenges and issues, and also helping other people out.
Now I'm proud because I'm at campus, I'm doing procurement and logistics management. I think that's what makes me proud. At my age, being at university, doing such a course, I'm 19 years old.
I feel proud of myself when I'm considered and respected by others. In other words, it is because of my dignity.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202 630 8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202 630 8011.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus. A recent survey by UNICEF says one in three young people report having been a victim of online bullying, and one in five say they have skipped school because of cyberbullying and violence. Mavis Ochre has more.
Almost three quarters of young people post said social media networks, including Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, and Twitter, are the most common places for online bullying. UNICEF and the United Nations Special Representative of the Secretary General on Violence Against Children released a report this month. Young people use the U-Report app to relate their experience online. More than 170,000 U-Report users between 18 and 24 in 30 countries responded to the poll. Cyberbullying, UNICEF says, includes sending threatening or harassing messages and images online and can include extortion and encouraging victims to harm themselves. In Malawi, 48% of the respondents indicated that they have been victims of digital bullying, indicating this problem is severe. A young woman from Malawi who spoke on condition of anonymity said she received extortion threats from someone she didn't know, who had pushed her to accept a Facebook friend request. She says the anonymous friend threatened to post naked pictures of her on Facebook if she refused to pay the money he requested.
I went ahead to block him, or for him to message me again on another
Facebook account. It was like, wrong move. I told you not to be smart. I told you not to do anything silly. I just told you to send me money. So you're failing to cooperate. Now wait for my actions. That really got me scared.
The woman became scared and depressed, worried that pictures of her naked would be exposed for her family and others to see. She says she reported the accounts that bullied her to Facebook and then deactivated her Facebook account. She still feels vulnerable and powerless.
I could not answer myself the question of what if every member of my family sees these pictures? What about my friends? What about everyone who looks up to me? Will they understand what happened? That really killed me inside. I was getting killed softly. I remembered when I couldn't do it anymore. I reached to a point where I was telling myself, it's better I lose my life now than to allow myself seeing my name being put to shame.
James Elva is a UNICEF spokesperson for Eastern and Southern Africa in Nairobi. He says cyberbullying seems to be increasing in Africa with the growth of mobile phones and social media. He says social media companies, governments, teachers, and parents have a role in preventing and responding to bullying.
It's a mix of what governments can, what social media networks can do, and then what mums and dads and kids to do. I think to start with social media networks, because that's really key, they need to improve their ethical standards and practices, specifically in regard to how they collect and manage data. I think there's also, given their profit margins, there's also a lot of space for social network providers to support more when it comes to schools providing safe space kids or training of parents and teachers on how to manage and deal with cyberbullying. National hotlines where children can call in a whole range of issues will be really useful, but in the best friends of those who will someone when they see that they are being bullied.
An elder says parents can spend more time with children to make it easier to spot online problems. Reporting for VOA, this is Mavis Autry in Washington.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202 630 8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202 630 8011.
And I must say, it's very important to hear your feedback. It's now time for our listener's comment. A listener who did not provide his or her name writes, if the government is increasing the number of IDPs like this in Yei, where is the peace we are praying for? If you say I'm lying, come to see what is happening in ECS Yei Diocese. Alex Jojo Chance from Bidibidi Refugee Settlement writes, I love your program and I inspire my fellow youth to struggle with their dreams by starting technical vocational trainings. Bit by bit, we shall find ourselves in another level. Hello, VOA. I am Jal Akon from Juba, Sudan, South Sudan. There is nothing more important than having peace in South Sudan because of the current economic crisis in South Sudan. Another listener writes, I'm just happy that President Salva Kiir and Dr. Riek Machar met this week to discuss security matters and issues ahead of the November 12th formation of the unity government and on ramping up the process of screening and unifying forces to create a united national army. Hello VOA, I am Joseph Gatmai Chol, Riak in Khartoum. I'm very happy with your wonderful news that I usually listen on air. Kiir smiled, Machar smiled too. I hope their smiles will bring change in the nation. I also hope that peace grows in their hearts. Yohani K in Koboko District in Uganda writes, thanks for the work done by VOA and all the presenters. Yei United was crowned champions of Arua South Sudan tournament. Mal Adao Mal in Bor writes, being xenophobic is not condoned anywhere on earth. So fellow South Africans, imagine if the world was to be xenophobic. How many of you guys would be safe? Xenophobic is evil. Martin Manuel writes, I personally pay tribute to your wonderful journalists, both inside and outside the country, for the great work they are doing for us, bringing us news every time. Aligo Moses Samuel, a refugee in Uganda, writes, the two leaders should understand that as we look ahead into the next century, leaders will be those who empower others. Ochaya David from Torit writes, hi John, thank you for updating us with what is happening in South Sudan. I love your show. Fred in Uganda in the refugee camp writes, I really love VOA News and I have created a song to appreciate VOA News for South Sudan, but for the whole world, and I don't know what your administration says about it. Well, you can send the song and we'll play it. Another listener writes, the two leaders should understand that as we look ahead into the next century, leaders will be those who empower others. An angry listener writes, you people said clearly that the Voice of America is now on WhatsApp, and now I'm sending you messages in order for you to reply, but you are not replying. Why? What is the meaning of VOA is on WhatsApp? 3 days ago, I have been asking, but you did not reply. Another listener writes, help me to play this song, Anina Bikore by Mata Loro Moses. The song is about the suffering of the people in South Sudan. Well, we will play that song for you, and that brings us to the end of our show for this Friday.
Nature talent music, Ameta Loro Moses, and the record behind this. Anina iya bikore, matabal bizunuk Sudan. Anina iya bikore, matabal bizunuk Sudan. Anina bikore, daban ma bizo gasumanina. Anina bikore, daban ma bizo gasumanina. Zamakan sakila debada fibele na muatani bikore bikore daban kali. Sikama file kam. Ohaya bikam biga saf, kulwa zaile saf desi boya de biga bikore galia buto mode kan kanyan, hasa de biga mufelis, medere sa tanina, huwa kil biga mafi, loze na borele abu, abu de bifekir si kata sudani, waina gese kino sila uya jamara puna saidu anina ye. Afiani na yo, we dile ni na salami dele na. Rabuna saidwani na ye. Afiani na yo, we dile ni na salami. Anina iya bikore, matabal bizunuk Sudan. Anina iya bikore, matabal bizunuk Sudan. Anina bikore, daban ma bizu gasumanina. Anina bikore daban ma bizo gasumanina. Rabuna kani rasulu diktora sanzaka situ ayanta bele tanina de. Diktora zali gogale dege bini ya yao bizuru domta bele tanina de. Tolal kani nduzi rato dama. Biza sultan biza lipu sita le sita besu wan. Veti suta yonze zol mozunu. Tanina alkanta na dama. Biza nubibiris wata masama ya bana zunu bin pele de masikwe nina bamulu zunu ya jam. Anina iya bikore matabal bizunu Sudan. Anina iya bikore matabal bizunu Sudan. Anina bikore daban mafizo gasumanina. Anina bikore daban mafizo.
We've been listening to Meta Loro with the song Anina Bikore Taban. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend and join us on Monday for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Bele de masi win ya pana zunu binina bamulu sunu ya jama sakila maluma nina biga taban nina bikore le salam salam bija la kibiri za maluna
Dastan na pika lazmi na jatan arubati. Kau sila pika tulutu.